sad is it that you guys have made us resort to begging? I don't know how many times I heard the word please in there. Please. No, guys, listen, there is a joy that's found in serving. Amen. I'm not going to beg of you to do something that you will find so much joy in. I'm going to present it to you, and I'm going to encourage you. Guys, get involved. Get involved. How many people were here last week for our service with Paris New Generation? Come on. Man, how fun was that? Wasn't that a great time? That is something I've had a number of people already approach me asking, hey, Corey, is this something that we're going to possibly ever do again? And I say, yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. So Pastor Shannon and I have already been talking, discussing different options, different ways that we can get together. There's multiple different things we're talking about doing, but one of the things that I was just really excited about that he brought up, he said, Corey, listen, man, one of the beauties of what we did was that it wasn't like I could have you come to our church and you could preach and we want to do that and that's going to be great. But the beauty of what that was is it was everybody. It was your church and our church coming together. And then he went on and he said, look, our facility doesn't necessarily accommodate all of your people. He said, but your building, that's what it does. It facilitates that. And when he said that, I couldn't help but be immediately reminded of exactly why God had us build this building. The beauty of having a facility, a house that we can invite other people into to worship God, man. I am excited. Pastor Shannon was already running his head on ideas, and we're gonna have some fun with that one. We're going to have a lot of fun with that one. And I am going to be really, really irritated if you guys think that you can amen last week and then not amen this week. I was sitting on the front row and I would like nudge Melissa and I was like, you heard that amen. We know that guy. We know him. I've never heard him amen me before. Y'all are in for it. All right. Hey, let's do this. Y'all stand with me. Y'all stand with me we're going to read God's word this morning. Join with me, Hebrews 12. Y'all listen here. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for your word, for your truth, the rock upon which we can stand. And today, God, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us, that as we keep our eyes fixed on you, Lord God, that in that, through that, Lord God, we can walk through any storm that this life may bring. Lord God, let your word be glorified. It's in the name of your son we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, guys, you may be seated. All right, so part of our values here at CF, part of our values is that we teach people that they are allowed to belong. They're allowed to belong, come as you are. They're allowed to belong where then in relationship with us, Christ is revealed to them. And so that from the opportunity to belong, they then are presented the opportunity to see Christ and then believe. You see, it's in believing that then together we inspire others to live like the gospel changes everything. It's in coming together that you and I inspire others. That's the point. You and I inspiring others to live like the gospel changes everything. Amen. You see, that process, that's becoming. That's you and I becoming more like him. Now, I'm going to go ahead and explain this because I've had some questions. Initially, we did have belong, believe, behave. The problem with behave is behave focuses on what I must do. You see, become involves outside influence. So together, you and I, in relationship with our eyes focused on Him, heeding the word of God, we become more like Him. The problem, what ends up happening for most of us is we tend to forget that even though we're still daily becoming, there's still that struggle, there's still that striving, there's still that work. Even though we are still daily becoming, we forget that God has already equipped us with anything and everything that we should need for anything that we encounter. We forget this mentality. We're starting a new series today that I'm calling Equipped. And the idea is that Scripture tells me in Christ, if I am in Christ, then I am enough. As I am, like it hurts to say it. As I am enough. Scripture tells me. So then Scripture also tells me that if I am enough, He has already equipped me with every attribute that I should need to face anything that comes my way.
That's right.
My favorite scripture has always been 1 John 2:20. A lot of times for the wrong reasons, I'll share. 1 John 2:20. This is John, who was one of the top three of Jesus, right? I mean, this guy was close to Jesus. And this guy says, John, talking about those who are in Christ, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Right? Like, I would tell myself that a lot. Why would I tell myself that a lot? Because I don't believe that I know all things. So in any situation that I didn't know all things, I'm sitting there having to tell myself, you don't know all things, but I'm just going to say this scripture because I'm going to believe. I've been told I know all things. There's truth to that, and yet there's still some deception within that. There's truth in that, and yet there's still deception within that. I have an anointing from the Holy One, and I know all things. All truth has already been given to me. My problem is, when I doubt that I do know all things, it almost negates this scripture for me. You see, because if I doubt that I know all things, then it's not possible that God would also have an anointing from the Holy One for me. Like, this scripture isn't for me because I don't know all things. And yet Scripture's clear. Scripture's clear. I have an anointing and I know all things. Scripture is clear. Scripture is clear. I have an anointing from the Holy One and I know all things. Scripture is crystal clear. You, if you are in Christ, you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. So how many of you are ready to wake up tomorrow with the confidence of you ain't worried about nothing because you know all things? You see, why don't I daily walk in the confidence? If I know that I know all things and that I have an anointing from the Holy One, then I know that God has already equipped me for everything that I could possibly need. Anything I face in life, God has already equipped me. You see, the issue is we have an enemy whose only ability is to lie, to deceive, and to steal. That's it. That's all he can do. He lies, he deceives, and he steals. He can't create anything new. So what he does is he takes the truth, the word of God, he deceives it, he twists it, and then he puts it right back in you. Twisting the good that God created for you. So what we're going to do here with Equipped is we're going to shed some light on negative thinking, exposing the lie for the purpose of revealing the truth. The truth being that God has already equipped you. The title of my message today is He Rolled Away the Shame. I want to ask you this, and this is going to be a great opportunity for participation, all right? Who's ever done anything they're ashamed of? Don't say it, just like with a show of hands. Okay, now come on, look. Are there really some of you that have never done anything you're ashamed of? No, I'm not going to share mine with you. Interestingly, if you go all the way back to the very beginning, all the way back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, you see this beautiful example in Scripture of what life is like without shame. And then you also see the tragic result of shame being introduced. I wanna pick up in Genesis 2:25 and read this one verse. It says this: Adam and his wife were both naked and felt no shame. Now, I read that, and that's crazy shocking to me. Yes, the naked part. But let's be real. Like, I stand here fully clothed, and I walk around in shame. Let's not even discuss the naked part, all right? But to not experience any shame. A couple with everything vulnerable, I mean everything, and yet more so much deeper than just that, so much deeper than the physical. There was no sense of embarrassment. There was nothing to hide. There was nothing spiritually, emotionally, even mentally that ever weighed them down. There was no shame. And then the enemy came and deceived them into simply not trusting God. The enemy twisted truth, allowing shame to enter the world. The serpent convinced them that in order to attain godlike status, they needed to choose their own way. When all along God wanted to live in relationship with them, only asked that they trust him. You see, again, the enemy, what he does is he manipulates, he distorts, he twists. He twists in order so that the good that God created is perceived internally as bad. Amen. When Adam and Eve chose their own way, when they chose that path, their own path over God's way, they immediately felt a deep sense of shame. Immediately upon making the choice to choose their own path over God's, the very first thing they felt was shame. So much so, the scripture says they covered themselves up and hid. They had never covered themselves before. Now, all of a sudden, shame introduced, and because shame was introduced, they didn't just have a feeling that they did wrong. Satan twisted the truth, and now they had an identity that they were wrong. See, shame is different than guilt. generally, guilt is action driven. It's, I did something that was bad. But shame's identity based. Shame takes the issue and it internalizes it. It changes it from, I did something bad, to, because of what I did or because of what happened to me, I am bad. I'm inadequate. I'm unworthy. Shame takes it in and internalizes it. Shame is, it's the financial debt that you don't want anybody to know about. Shame is the addiction that you hide. Shame is the thing that happened so many years ago, and yet still you worry and fret, hoping nobody ever finds out. But because of whatever it was that happened, our enemy ends up coming in and he connects that issue, that bad, to who you are. He connects it to how you see yourself. Right? And then once he does that, you start to believe, you start to process, you start to think, because of what I did, I am damaged. Because of what I did, I'm insignificant. Because of what I did, I'm unlovable. Because of what I did, I'm weak. Because of what I did, it's my fault. It always will be my fault. Because of what I did. And without realizing it, we take that bad thing and we wrongly connect it to our identity and start living in shame, covering ourselves and hiding. I'm unlovable, I'm weak, I'm pitiful, I'm insignificant. I want to quickly show you a couple different ways that this shows itself in our lives. One quick way, is whenever we live with shame-based thinking, what ends up happening is, well, we're vulnerable. We're vulnerable to perfection. We try and hide, silence the shame with a perfect performance. Look over here at what I did. Isn't this great? Never mind what's going on here. We try to cover our shame with the perfect performance. Another way that the shame impacts us is oftentimes we're critical of ourselves. And because we're critical of ourselves, we're then critical of others. Because oftentimes, shamed people shame others. We hate in others the very sin that we hate in ourselves, and so we're critical of others because we've become critical of ourselves. A third way that shame impacts us is, we'll use self-defeating thoughts. Self-defeating thoughts to protect ourselves from the disappointment that might happen. We'll tell ourselves, man, this is bad, and man, it's only gonna get worse. Only trying to protect ourselves in case it might. We lower our expectations so then we're not disappointed. But in doing so, what we do is sabotage our opportunities, sabotage even relationships out of the shame of embarrassment. We tell ourselves, they'll just reject me anyway. So we never even risk the relationship. Or we say something like, well, I'd just fail anyhow. And so we never even try. We sabotage the opportunity for God to bless us. It's all shame-based thinking. It's all shame-based thinking, and God wants you to know that you are already equipped. You don't need anything else. All you need to do is trust Him. All right, but shame says, but I'm bad. God couldn't use me. I don't know all things, so I must not have an anointing from the Holy One. And we end up trying to fix things on the outside that are out of our control. I'm flawed, so therefore I got to fix it. I got to make it better. I got to make it right so that I can come before God. And then I can be Godlike like He is. Well, that's not how. We end up trying to fix the very things that are outside of our control. And then what ends up happening? Because we can't fix things that are outside of our control, shame-based belief is encouraged, strengthened. Wow, I guess I'm not enough. I'll never measure up. I'm always lacking. And we strive harder. We work harder for, again, things that are outside of our control, things that we cannot fix, only to then realize we can't fix it, thus enforcing shame-based thinking. We work harder to prove our worth. Look, even myself, I got to be a great pastor. I got to meet every need. Look, I can't meet my family's needs. Let's just go ahead and clear that, because I can't be expected to fix everybody's needs. It's outside of my control. I can't do it. And yet there's a mentality that comes on me and says, all right, you got to be the pastor. That's what a pastor does. A pastor fixes all the needs. A pastor's there for everybody. You've got to be that. And I fail. It doesn't work because it can't. You can't be everywhere. You can't be everything. But because you can't, because of that truth, the enemy warps the truth and uses it to reinforce shame. I'm not enough. I'll never be enough. And what's interesting, and I hope you've already picked up on it, the probability of anything that you feel shameful about is there's some truth in it. All right, let me point at me first. Look, I already said, the truth is, I will never be enough. I won't. I'll never be enough. There's people here this morning that you're probably thinking, yeah, Corey, but I don't think you get it. I'm bad. And I want to tell you, you're right. You are. You've sinned. I've sinned. We're all bad. Yes. Corey, man, you don't get it. I feel inadequate. Guess what? You are. God bless you. Walk out of here encouraged. Yes, you are. Again, we all are. We're not designed to be everything on our own. We are never enough. If you find something in yourself that you don't like, there may very well possibly be some truth in it. The problem is, as long as you're focused on you, you will always be vulnerable to shame. Because you're never enough. There's a powerful story in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it talks about the Israelites. And the Israelites are, they end up in slavery. Enslaved by the Egyptians for 430 years. That's a long time. 430 years the Israelites were enslaved to the Egyptians. For generation after generation after generation after generation after generation, like we can't even keep on. There was a mentality of I'm worthless, I'm inadequate, I'll never be enough. These chains are who I am. I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I'll never attain anything higher than this level. 430 years ingrained in their minds. I'm invaluable. My life is nothing. I didn't even do the calculations. 430 years. Imagine how many days they believed the lie. God raises up Moses. Moses comes in. He declares, "Let my people go," says God. And God delivered the Israelites from slavery. They walked out. The Egyptians themselves were handing them silver and gold. On the outside, the chains are broken. They are now with it all. They have it all. They walked out free on the outside, and yet still up here, walking around with the mentality of a slave, of I'm worthless, I'm inadequate. They were out of slavery, but slavery wasn't out of them. Some of you today, you're followers of Christ. You've been forgiven. You've been freed. But even though your sin's forgiven, you're still slaves to the shame of something that's not true about you. On the outside, you put on the clothing of freedom. You look the part. But on the inside, you're still just weighed heavy with shame, with guilt, something that's not true about you. Even though you've been forgiven by Christ, even though Scripture flat out says He doesn't hold your sins against you, He remembers them no more, you're still living with, consumed with, driven by a shame-filled mindset. Still believing that you're something when God says you're not. The only way to heal from shame, the only way to realize that you are equipped is to move the focus from what you're not to who Christ is. Come on, look, it's taking the focus off of me and putting it on Christ. Amen. Coming back to our passage, Hebrews 12. The author speaks of Jesus giving His life on the cross, preparing for this moment to give His life. And he says this, "For the joy set before Him, Jesus endured the cross." I want to pause right here for just a moment and have you think about this line. For the joy set before Him, Jesus endured the cross. So then Jesus endured the agony, the pain, the torture, the hurt, the humiliation, the shame of the cross, simply because of the joy He knew it would provide you. Because He knew that it would set you free today. And for that reason, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. And then look at these three little words. Scorning, it's shame. Scorning, it's shame. He hated the shame. He despised the shame. Scorned the shame. You see, every fiber of righteousness within Him, God in the flesh, loathed, hated, despised the very shame that robs people of a relationship with Him. You see, from the very beginning, God scorned and despised the shame in the Garden of Eden. He hated the shame of David's adultery, the shame of Peter's denial. Jesus despised the shame that Judas felt in betraying Him. Because of the sin? No. No, because it creates a mentality of shame that thinks we now can't approach God. Jesus despised the shame. And in the very same way, God scorns the shame that crushes your soul, the very shame that kills your joy today. He despises the shame you feel from the lies that you believe about yourself. He despises the shame you feel from hidden habits you feel you gotta hide. You gotta mask, cover up. He despises the shame you feel from your financial failures. He despises your secret sin. He loathes the shame that you feel from your deepest secrets and your darkest hurts. You see, Jesus, he hates the very shame that you endure because of what you said or what you did or even what you didn't do. Jesus despises the shame of your self-doubt, the shame of your self-hatred. He scorns the shame of how you don't even like yourself, you don't even like what you see. He scorns the shame. Scripture's clear, he scorns the shame when you feel like you're not enough. And for that very reason, God in the flesh, nailed to an instrument of torture, as those he came for mocked him, cursed him, spit on him. Jesus faced that shame. Jesus faced that shame dead on and said, I despise you. You're nothing to me compared to the joy of my Father's children, knowing that they are loved. Shame, I despise you. I mean, y'all ain't clapping good enough right there. Y'all missed it. Jesus looked at the face of shame and said, no. I despise, I loathe you. And for that reason, he hung there. He stood strong and said, my Father equipped me. My Father equipped me to give my life as a ransom for many. And because of that reason, that's why, shame, you have no power compared to the joy that's set before me. Come on. Jesus looked on and said, shame, you can't distract me. You can't deter me. You cannot take away from me what I know that God has already equipped in me to do. But for the joy set before him, but for you, he endured the cross. He looked up to heaven and said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And at that very moment, the Son of God, the righteous Lamb, gave his life to ensure that you and I were forever equipped with everything that we need. The opportunity to live in relationship daily with him, to walk daily with him, to daily trust in him. It's because of his death and because of his resurrection that we can be made new. It's because of what he did on the cross that we can be forgiven, that we can be healed from shame. But again, the only way to heal is to move the focus from who you are to who Christ is. Move the focus from who you are, from whatever it is you did or did not do, to who he is and what he did. So because of Christ, I'm not horrible. You see, because of Christ, I'm forgiven. This is one that I This is one that's been pressing on me, and it's kind of interpreted however you want to interpret it, but I'm just going to be real and open with you. For me, the word that's been heavy on my heart is the feeling of being broken. It's hard to accomplish things when you feel like you're broken. And yet, if I look in Scripture, I am not broken. Because of what Christ did for me, I am healed. I am whole in Him. That's Scripture. Come on. You may say because of this or because of that, I'm not wanted. No, because of Christ, you are loved. You're accepted. You're forgiven. Because of Christ, I am chosen. I am set apart. I am new. I am called. I am the chosen one. I am His holy righteousness walking here today. Because of Christ, I have an anointing from the Holy One, and I know all things. I just kind of want to walk it out, you know? I'm like, I have it. My daughters are looking at me going, don't do it. So we're going to slow down. Because of who He is, because of what He's done, the shame has no hold over me. Remember back to the Israelites, 430 years of slavery, 430 years of slavery, 430 years of shame. They're finally delivered out of slavery, but the slavery was still in them. I want to show you a scripture. Joshua 5 verse 9 says this. The Lord said to Joshua, Today I have rolled the shame of your slavery in Egypt. I have rolled away the shame of your slavery in Egypt. You see, guys, for you and for me, because of the power of the resurrection, today God has rolled away the shame of whatever it is that's holding you down, that's weighing you down. God has rolled away the shame. Whatever it is that's holding you in slavery, God has rolled away the shame. Yes. You see, because in Him there is no shame. I am equipped. Because of who Jesus is, because of what He has done, you are equipped. Yeah. Come on, guys. You're worthy of love. Yeah. Because God rolled away the stone. Because God rolled away the stone at that very moment, He rolled away the shame. The cross was for you. The empty tomb was specifically for you. You were the joy that was set before Him. You see, Jesus looked and saw through time, saw you, knowing that if He endured the shame then, that the joy set before Him was that you would be free. That gave Him joy. For the joy of your freedom, He endured the cross. For the joy of your salvation, He endured the cross. For the joy of your forgiveness, He endured the cross. For the joy of your relationship, He endured the shame of the cross, scorning it, just simply so you could know that you're not what you did, you're not what you do, you're not what somebody did to you, you're not who others say you are, you are not even the thoughts that you say about yourself. Come on. You are in Christ. Yes. Come on, you are in Christ, the risen Son of God. And so therefore, you are who He says you are. And He says in Him, you are free. Yes. He says, in him, you are forgiven. He says, in him, you are changed. Come on, somebody give a shout to the Lord. He says, in him, you are equipped. He says, in him, you have everything that you could possibly need. In him. Amen. It's in him. In him, you are equipped. Yeah, but Corey, I don't think I'm... Oh, stop it. You're looking to you. And you're right. So it's not shame. It's congratulations. You're not equipped. He is. Let's rejoice and give praise to God. Come on. Stand up and give a shout to the Lord God with me. Come on, guys. Look, you are equipped because of shame. God rolled away the stone, and whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Come on, amen. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for your truth, for what you did on Calvary's cross, Lord God, that because of that day, my shame is rolled away. That today, Lord God, no longer do I have to stand and believe the twisted lies of the enemy. Instead, Lord God, I can recognize you and your truth, your word, that I am enough. Because of you, I am healed. Because of you, I am strong. Because of you, Lord God, I am encountered, Lord God, with the one and only. Father, an encounter with your presence. I have an anointing from the Holy One. As we continue to keep your eyes closed with me, your head bowed if you don't mind, I want to pray for people. And I specifically want to pray for those who are walking in or feeling like they have shame that's holding them down. You recognize through this that weight. And maybe even more so, I want to pray even more specifically for those that maybe that word... It resonated in your heart too, the word broken. If you're here this morning, and there's ever been a thought that says, I'm broken, I want to pray for you, because God's word says you're not. God says you're not what happened. God says you're not what you did. God's word says you are his child. His beauty, his righteousness, the one he longs for, the one that he desires to be with. So this morning, if there's that thought, that hindrance that keeps you from being able to just walk into his presence, to walk into confidence tomorrow, knowing that you are equipped, I want to pray for you. Again, with every head bowed, eye closed, I'm not going to call anybody out, but I want to pray for you. If any of that is speaking to you this morning, if you'll just raise your hands and surrender, say, God, I need you. Would you just raise your hands across the room with me now as I pray? God, across this room, I join with believers. Father, we're standing confidently. We know that we are in you, Lord Jesus. We believe that you are the truth that sets us free. We believe, Lord God, in you, and we know your word says if we would simply confess and believe, then salvation is ours. But Father, right now, even with salvation, even with my freedom, I still feel enslaved, entangled, broken. And so, Father God, across this room, I pray for those that shame would be lifted even now, Father. That we would recognize that even in our weakness, Lord God, that's not something that we need to veer away from, hide away from, or try and cover up, Lord God. But rather, we need to come to you with open arms and say, God, it's because of this that I know you are. It's because I can't, Lord God, that I know you can. Lord Jesus, I don't stand here today on my own strength. I stand here because I know that in you I am healed. I am no longer broken. I am a child of God. And because of that, I can stand strong. Because of that, I can face adversity and look it dead and square in the eyes and say, shame, you are scorned. You have no place. God, I thank you today that you are lifting shame off of people's path. That, Lord God, even now that they walk out of here lighter, encouraged, Lord God, because you are so faithful. God, we thank you so much. And we walk out of here today free. We walk out of here today, Lord God, confident, knowing that we know that we know that we're equipped, that we have an anointing from the Holy One, and we know all things. God, let your Son be glorified through our lives as we inspire others to live like the gospel changes everything. It's in your name we pray. Amen, 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 amen. Come on, y'all give a shout to the Lord God this morning. Come on. Guys, y'all have a very, very, very blessed Sunday. There's myself and a couple other pastors are going to be standing up here. If you have any need of prayer, y'all feel free to come down and pray with us or one of the others that's going to be here. God bless you guys. Y'all have a great Sunday afternoon.